Thanks for joining us for the Connect Podcast. I'm Cole Phillips, the lead pastor of the Connection Church, and every week we're going to look into the Bible to find out how God's Word connects to our everyday lives. It's going to be life-changing. The Connect Podcast is produced every week for your growth and inspiration. You can find all the show notes at makingtheconnection.org. You can also find the podcast on your favorite podcasting service. Follow me on Twitter at Cole Phillips and on Facebook and Instagram. You'll find all the links in the show notes. Now, let's get into the study. Welcome to Connect here in the Connect Podcast here. First one of 2024, and I'm so excited about getting back into this after an incredible Christmas and New Year's. You know, I hope that you got to be with family. You know, whenever families get together, there's always at least the potential for some conflict to take place. You know, that always presents its own kind of challenges. And especially when you've got so much division in our culture, you've got all of these different opinions about things that are happening. I'm talking conflicts in our world, like the tension between Israel and Hamas, and you know, all of this is happening. The political debates. There was a New York Times columnist named Catherine Pearson who had some ideas about how to navigate conflict when you get together with your family, and so I thought we would kind of evaluate her advice and see if she has good advice for us or not. And then we'll get into the Bible and see what the Bible says about what to do when there's conflict. But one of the things, and she gathered all this from different readers or different people who gave their ideas of what would be the best way to navigate the family drama and the family conflict. And so she said, first, one idea was to control the setting. And so they said, we host every year, every holiday, and it's been easier, they say, when we can control the environment and where we have safe space. That's pretty funny. That's pretty funny. Like, I want to control everyone. I want to control the situation, make sure nobody gets out of control. So this is a control freak idea, I suppose. There's another idea they had. This is not a bad idea, I suppose. Find a connection. This is someone from Arizona who said that there's, you know, they have a brother. This is one brother and two brothers. They get together. They're on two opposing sides, but they have a mutual love of music. And so despite their different political views, they get out their guitars and they say, when we're singing, we can't fight. So making beautiful music together, I suppose that's an idea. I kind of like that idea because, you know, I always want to bust out my guitar and let's just sing a song and everybody will be happy. Here's another idea. Somebody from Florida said, when in doubt, talk sports. So they have an unofficial list of topics to avoid in order to keep the peace. And they say, when issues arise, we enjoy the old fallback. How about those Mets? Well, you know, this is just the tactic of avoidance, right? We don't talk about certain things. And then I love this one. This was just a commenter who said, do crafts, pull out some markers and construction paper and have everyone decorate their own placemat. Well, we did that at Connection Academy this year. They made placemats for Thanksgiving. So I guess you get your whole family to do arts and crafts together. And they say giving everyone a project can help cut down on arguments. That's not what I've found to be true. Usually when you're trying to do a project, that's when things get tense. But, you know, our world is so full of conflict. And most of the conflict, when you look at the conflict in our world, it is selfish, it is evil, self-serving, self-centered. And that's where the root of conflict. in fact, James talks about that. He says, where does this conflict come from? It comes from our own evil desires. But not always. There's always also some conflict that comes out of just simply having different ideas and opinions. And so I'm talking about some healthy conflict. And in Acts chapter 15, as we move through the book of Acts, we see beginning in verse 36 that we see this study of conflict between two great Christian leaders in the church. And we see two reasons why we have conflict. So if you deal with conflict, and if you want to, which we all do, and you want to know how do I navigate through conflict, I think we're going to find some good principles here in this passage about how to do it better, how to fight fair, how to fight better, and not just fight to personally win, but so that we all win, and really God wins, and when God's will is done. So we're going to see that here in this passage. So let's look at these two reasons we have conflict. Starting Acts 15, verse 36, it says, "Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing.' Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it was wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work." So what we have here is a difference of opinion, right, on how to get the job done. And we see that honest conflict can come out of a genuine concern. It's not selfish, it's not self-serving, and it's not because one or the other is trying to pull a power play or just trying to get your own way. It's not because you're jealous of the other person. You're trying to kind of keep the status quo in place. When you look at Paul and Barnabas, you see that Paul suggested that they go back and visit the churches and visit the Christians in those churches. And Barnabas was all on board with that. He wanted to go just like Paul did. And they both were concerned primarily about what God was doing and God's purpose, God's mission. And they were both committed to this idea to go back to every city where they had preached the gospel and preached the word of the Lord. And they want to go to every single city or every single church that they had preached in before. But they also had a real difference in perspective and how to get the job done. And the difference wasn't, what are we supposed to do? It wasn't, what is our mission? It's, how do we do it? How do we get the job done? And so all of us as followers of Jesus, we all have the same mission: to share the gospel of Jesus, to encourage other Christians. And that is true. It's a non-negotiable for the church. The church is all about the same mission. But the way we do it can be different. There can be different approaches, different strategies. This is a difference not in message or in mission, but a difference in methodology, how to get the job done. And sometimes we elevate methodology to the point where we say, oh, there's a right way and there's a wrong way. And sometimes it's just, this is a good way to reach a certain group of people. This is a good way to reach another group of people. And the methodology isn't something worth fighting about. But the mission, we need to stand for the mission. We need to stand for the message. But what happened with Paul and Barnabas is Barnabas thought the best way to get the job done was to take young Mark along with them. And Mark had already failed and disqualified himself once. If you look back in Acts chapter 13, verse 13, where Mark abandoned the mission. But Barnabas wouldn't have been so strongly insistent on Mark coming with him unless he knew Mark had made a real, genuine recommitment of his life to the Lord and to the mission. And Mark really wanted to go, and he wanted Barnabas to stand up for him. He needed somebody to stand up for him because Mark felt this strong call to be a missionary, and he wanted a chance to prove himself and redeem himself. And you know old Barnabas, Barnabas meaning the son of encouragement. He was always helping the underdog and those who were under attack. And he did the same thing with Paul. So he's reaching out to this young Christian and he's encouraging him, encouraging Mark. But also, Barnabas cared about Paul too. I mean, he was like a spiritual father or a brother to Paul. And he had seen how God had worked in Paul's life to help him mature and gifted him to be effective in reaching the world for Jesus. And so Barnabas wouldn't have easily stood up against Paul unless he really believed he was doing the right thing. And then also, Barnabas had already been wrong once when he disagreed with Paul. If you look in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11 through 13, what happened here is Peter came down to Antioch to visit, and he joined right in fellowshipping and eating with the Gentiles. And then some of the Judaizers, the one who said, no, you got to keep all of this Old Testament law, they came down later and they criticized Peter, and Peter changed his behavior. He stopped eating with the Gentiles and he kind of cut them off. And there was a huge conflict that happened. In fact, Barnabas also stopped eating with the Gentiles. And this probably happened before this incident that we're talking about today. So Barnabas would not be taking a stand against Paul's decision about taking Mark unless he really was convinced that he was in the right here. But then also on the flip side, you look at Paul. Paul had a different opinion than Barnabas because he thought that Mark being a deserter was not a good representation for these young churches who they were going to strengthen. And he didn't want to take Mark along, risking that the same thing would happen again. So they were having an honest difference of opinion, but they were both determined to do what God wanted them to do. The question was, how do we get it done? And who needed to go on the mission in order to be most effective? And that's a decision. Sometimes you got to determine, who am I going to line up with? And who am I going to partner with and work with and serve with? It's a big decision to be made. And we know that whenever you get people together, there's always the potential for conflict. And usually there is some conflict. And that's always been true. Sometimes we look at conflict today and we say, why is there so much conflict? Well, we see these two strong Christian men, they had conflict with each other. Okay? So we need to make sure that we're searching our own heart and make sure that our motives are pure and make sure that we're not choosing to do things out of self-serving or selfish interest. And part of it is, how do we frame conflict? Do we see conflict as beneficial? Because it can be. It doesn't always have to be. It doesn't always have to be viewed badly. You know, I've heard like when an arm is broken and that you reset it and the bone grows back together, it'll grow back together stronger. So sometimes that's what happens with conflict. Things can get stronger. Relationships can get stronger when we hold honest differences, and we believe this is what God is telling us to do. You know, in those moments, there's going to be conflict because somebody else is going to come along and say, no, there's a different way to do this. And when that happens, you've got to be convinced, I'm going to do what God has led me to do, what God has told me to do, and trust that God is going to be in control of the other person and lead them as well so that everything works out. We're going to look at how everything turns out this morning as we continue in this. But I love this verse in Ephesians 6:6 that tells us, and I'm reading from the King James Version because I like this word that is used here. He says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. And so we're not just trying to look good before people. And you have a choice. You can either be a person pleaser, people pleaser, or you can be a God pleaser. And, you know, I've heard that said, I can only make one person happy today, you know, and today is just not your day. Listen, you can't make all the people happy all the time, but you can please God. You can choose to live for an audience of one and do what he wants you to do. And when you do that, you can't go wrong. Even if there is conflict, you're standing on the Lord's side. But look at the negative thing that can happen, the bad result that can happen from disagreement, and that is disconnection can come from disagreement. And that is what happens here. And this is heartbreaking in verse 39. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. We see these three results in this experience, this conflict, and we see this often. First, there was sharp disagreement. This means that this disagreement, this conflict was painful, physically painful. And both Paul and Barnabas were hurting over this. It cut to the heart. They were both convinced they were right, and they stood up for their own position. And this doesn't mean that they were calling each other names. This doesn't mean that they were cutting each other with their words, using words as weapons. Listen, as Christians, we don't need to be gossiping. We don't need to be accusing. You know, the devil himself is called the accuser of the brethren. So it's the devil who accuses. And we definitely don't need to be name calling. But just the fact that there was division between them and disconnection was heartbreaking to them. And it cut them in a almost like feeling it physically. It was a loss. They loved each other. They respected each other. And it seemed like there was no solution to this. And so as a result, they lost their friendship. It was the losing of a strong friendship. You know, when Paul needed help, Barnabas was the only one who stepped up to speak up for him. So Barnabas was that close to Paul and stood up for him, helped him to grow. He had seen how God was using him. He partnered with him. And Paul owed a lot to Barnabas, and he never would have allowed this conflict to divide them unless he really believed that this was the right thing to do. And Barnabas loved Paul so much that the same thing was true in his life too. The results were tragic. Even though their motives were both perhaps good, they couldn't come to an agreement, and the result was division. They were strong Christians, they cared for each other, and they were splitting up their mission and their ministry. And they could only hope that God would convince the other person and direct the other person, and that God would continue to use the other person in the process, even if they didn't come back together. You might be asking, as we look at this, okay, who was right? Was it Paul or was it Barnabas? We don't know who was really right for sure in this, but Paul did misjudge Mark, because Mark ultimately redeemed himself, and he is later seen serving with Paul and with Peter later on in the New Testament. And Paul also later on said nice things about Barnabas and said he had this great ministry when he was, if you look in 1 Corinthians 9:6. So, you know, God continued to use all the parties involved in this. And so, yeah, there was a right and there was a wrong, but ultimately they were all looking to the Lord for direction. And so we should try to avoid conflict the best that we can. We need to do everything we can to live in peace with each other. And so there's a description in 2 Timothy 2:24 that says the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. So if you're going to follow God and you're going to serve God, you need to not be argumentative, not be always looking for a fight. In fact, Philippians 2:3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. So we need to be considering not what's best for me, but what is best for someone else. And if you'll do that, you're going to avoid a lot of the conflicts that usually, you know, that can come up in your life. And another verse in Philippians 1:27 says, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And it says you're standing firm in the spirit, striving as one for the faith of the gospel. So, you know, there's a way to fight fair. There's a way to disagree without being disagreeable. And you can do it in confidence, knowing you're standing with the Lord and you're not under threat. God is going to be with you, and he's going to direct you through it as you trust him. And when you come to the point, if you come to the point where you go, hey, wait a minute, I didn't see something. I missed something. I was wrong in this. It's okay to admit it and to correct it as much as you can. I mean, think about how this turned out. Mark, okay, as we've been talking about Mark, here's the spoiler if you didn't know. Mark wrote the Gospel of Mark. And so think about what a friend Barnabas was in this, that he helped both Paul and Mark when they were cast aside by other believers. And so just because somebody pushes you to the side, maybe that you think they don't see the potential in you, that's okay. God is still going to use you in the way he wants to use your life. And all, you know, you look at Paul's impact on the world is immeasurable. Mark, through the Gospel of Mark, has, you know, such an impact. And yet Barnabas was used behind the scenes in both of their lives. So, you know, he was working by standing with people, choosing to stand with people, believe in people. As I say, put a 10 on people's foreheads, believing the best, believing that there's great potential in them. And believe this, and here's kind of where we're going to stick the landing, and that is that God ultimately can use conflict for good. Conflict doesn't have to have a tragic ending. It can have a good ending. Look at what happened in verse 39, the second half of that, and on through the end of this, through 41. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left. Commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord, he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So ultimately, God prevailed in this conflict between Paul and Barnabas. You say, who won? Well, God did. They had a difference of opinion. They weren't being selfish. They weren't operating out of ulterior motives or bad motives. They loved God with all their hearts, and they were called according to his purpose. And we know in Romans 8:28, that says, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. So even in the bad things, even in the hard things of life, God is still working things out behind the scenes for his glory and for your good. What were the good results in this situation? Well, there was Mark, who had been a deserter. He had wimped out in the past. Now he was reclaimed. He was fired up, and he was ready to go. Silas was, there was an opening then for Silas to step up in ministry. And we know of the great team of Paul and Silas. And so that came as a result of this. And now there were two separate mission teams that were sent out. Barnabas and Mark went to Cyprus, which is where Barnabas was from. And, you know, I've seen this in play out in churches. Sometimes churches refuse to start other churches. They say, well, we're just not going to do that because we don't want any competition. You know, they say they don't want competition by having another church. Now, churches should never be in competition with each other. What we're really in competition with is the enemy, the devil. We're in competition with the world and the things of the world, but not with other churches. Churches are all working for the same purpose. But sometimes a church says, we're not going to start another church in the area. And then inevitably what happens because they've gotten off mission is there's division and somebody steps out and says, I'm going to start a church down the street. And so you see that church happen. And if you don't intentionally, if you're not intentionally about helping and supporting and starting other churches, then they're going to happen spontaneously. And, you know, God works in that too. God works in great ways in those situations. And, you know, Paul and Silas, they went into Syria and Cilicia, which was where Paul was from. And so I want us to look at what was happening here first. You know, Paul, he was hurting at this time. He and Barnabas, who was his best friend, his partner in ministry, they had split up and gone their own ways because of their differences, and they couldn't figure out a way forward together. But it still hurt. It was painful. Sometimes people leave and they say, leave the church, and they say, well, it's not personal. But it is personal, because we're people and we care about people. And anytime people divide over differences, it is personal and it still hurts, even though you can trust that God is working in these situations. But they had been together for a lot of years. And so it must have been very difficult for them in the pain that they felt. And they both continued on in ministry. As hard as it was, as difficult as it was emotionally, they didn't just sit around sulking, wondering, why does this have to happen to me? They could have gotten depressed. But Paul wasn't being led by his feelings. He pressed on. He stayed faithful and true to his call that he had from God, and he continued to pursue ministry. So often people get hurt, and you hear so often today people talking about church hurts, but you know, it's really not a church hurt, it's really a people hurt. We get hurt by other people, but that should not keep us from doing what God has called us to do. We still need to continue serving. And as you serve, you make your way through. You know, I like to say, if you're not serving, you're swerving. And so you just keep pressing on, doing what God has called you to do. And from this point on, Luke, who's writing the book of Acts, he's focusing in on Paul's ministry. You don't hear anything else about Barnabas or any of the other disciples at this point. And Paul traveled through Syria and Cilicia, which is where he was from. He was traveling by land instead of the sea, and God led Paul to take this path for a very good reason, and that is, when you're sad, when you're hurting, there's no place like home. It had been around 10 years since Paul had been able to go back home, most of those churches that he went to see were probably there because of his ministry during his first 11 years in ministry, where he started in that area. And so God knew that him being in his home area with those first churches would help to bring healing to Paul and his emotions and his hurt. And, you know, there was a lot of hard things ahead for Paul as well, a lot of suffering, a lot of challenges. And so God knew that Paul needed some comfort and some encouragement so he could continue on. And we've got to do that. Even when you're hurting, it's okay. You've got to be resting. You know, it's okay to, you know, take a Sunday perhaps, but you don't abandon ship. You don't abandon your ministry just because of, you know, somebody has treated you the wrong way. That's not how that works. You gotta continue looking to the Lord and serving him and doing what he tells you to do. And as you do that, God is going to take care of you. He's going to bring healing to you. Paul is a great example of persevering and pressing on in spite of being hit with attack and setback after setback. Galatians 6:9, Paul wrote this. He says, "Let's not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." And, you know, Paul really wanted to visit those churches. Those are people. You know, churches is not a building. It's the people. He wanted to go see how they were doing so he could strengthen them and he could help them learn to even lean more on Jesus and be strong in the teachings of the Bible. And so this is what we're to do. We're not looking, you know, to ourselves in the midst of conflict, but looking to God and trusting that he's going to bring about a good result in the middle of it. And I just want to close with this. At the end of a debate in 2018, there were two candidates for a Vermont State House seat, and they asked the moderator for a few extra minutes, not to do a last-minute closing appeal for votes, but they wanted to make music together. And so you got a Democrat named Lucy Rogers. She grabbed her cello, and Zach Mayo, the Republican, picked up his guitar, and they started performing a song called Society by Eddie Vedder. Everybody who was in attendance was surprised. I want to show you their performance. Okay, just a little bit of it. Let's see how this goes. Okay, I think we're done with that. Listen, it's interesting that it wasn't maybe the greatest performance, but you know, usually you picture these two candidates that will be in great conflict with each other. But Zach Mayo, he said, it strikes a chord to say to the world that this is a better way. And so they agreed that they're going to be civil to each other and treat each other with respect. And they decided to play a song together. And I think this is a good example of people we can disagree without being disagreeable. How can we make some good music together? Because the world is watching. The world is watching us. And there's a lot of disagreement. There's a lot of conflict. But as followers of Christ, we need to learn to trust God. We need to stand firm on what our convictions are, but trust God that He is in control and He's going to prevail in the end. So that's the encouragement that I have for us today. And just whatever conflict you're facing today, continue to stand for the Lord, but continue to see people as people that God can do a work in their lives. You don't have to fix everybody, but God, He's working. You can pray for them and trust for God's best in the outcome. All right. So thank you so much for joining me, and I will see you really soon. I hope you have a really great day ahead. Thanks. Thank you for joining us for this week's Connect podcast. If you liked what you heard, then be sure to like, share, comment, subscribe, rate. We want to spread this good word to everybody we can who needs to hear this message. I hope you have a great week, and I look forward to you joining us next week for the Connect podcast.